Fuck it. Tavshin Ayin Ches.
Yes.
So let's take a look. I don't know how far this will carry us, but let's take a look. The first piece over here is really got. It's not in the Parsha per se. It's in Shmon. It has to do with Shmon Esrei, right? It has to do with Shmon Esrei, right? But I think it relates to the Parsha. It obviously relates to the Parsha. Right? We say the first bracha of Avos, right, in Shmon Esrei. So we talk about Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Right? Each one of the Avos brought Hashem's presence into the world, yeah, in a fashion of focused Hashgacha Pratis, each one through a unique midah. So like the Nefesh HaChaim says, V'zeh inyan avodas ha'avos kol yemehem, ki heima b'noros tzidkosam, v'taras kedushas libam, hayimedabkim machshavtam l'ritzono yizborach kol yemehem bli hefsek rega. They were attached to the Ribbono Shalom, right, without a stop. And because of that, his hashgacha upon them was also in his hashgacha pratis was what he calls intensely or uniquely intense. Lachain, like in the final bold part of that Nefesh HaChaim, Lachain Yisyached Shmo Yisborach Aleihem, he korei Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. L'zeh Amru Zara, Avos Hein Hein HaMerkava. The Avos are the Merkava, they're the vehicle that carries Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. The Maral, and we're familiar with this, not just from Maral, but we know what it called, that the Midah that typified Avram was Chesed. Right? And the Midah that typified Yitzchak is Din. Right, everything has to be. In other words, if in Abraham, he introduced the world to the idea of Kodesh Baruch Hu giving to us, and because of that, he patterned his life after giving, because that's the wave of the world. The entire flow of the world is one gush of Chesed. So in turn, his conduct was a conduct of Chesed, complete concern, giving to the next. Right, etc. Because he's trying to awaken people to the idea that just as I'm giving to you right now, you should realize this is just an extension of this gigantic wave, which is the gift of Chesed from the Creator. Yitzchak, on the other hand, taught the concept of din, right? Of do you know before whom you stand, right? In other words, that if we're going to paint two sides of the stage of life. Right, so Avram on the one hand is teaching us about what the nature of a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kov Yochel is giving to us. He focuses on that. Yitzchak is focusing on the idea: do you realize before whom you stand? And that's his idea of Midas Hadin. Everything has, like in the Shprach of the Maral, everything has got is Ose Mas of Biyosher Ubedin. Everything he does completely straight, completely Bedin, etc. That's Yitzchak's. That's Yitzchak's modus operandi, as it were. That's what typifies him. Yaakov, in turn, right? Yaakov. So his midas, the Maral talks about it, is midas Yaakov's midas rachamim.
Thought it was Emes.
Oh, we'll see. Rachamim. Right, start here. We'll see in a second. Midas Yaakov is rachamim. V'zein in a rachamim, says the Maral. You see that's the third bullet here, right? Zein in midas rachamim. Ha'ava v'achibur. Rachamim, he says, is ava and chibur. Love and attachment. Right? That's called rachamim. Not we're thinking of rachamim usually as mercy. Right? Right? Thinking of, you know, whatever it is. Whatever. Yeah? But it's what he called, it's ava v'achibur. Ava v'achibur. Shekvar b'yarnu ki ze ohev. Targumo m'rachmoyi. The targum of an ohev is merachmoy, and his rachamim is an expression, is an expression of love. Because Baruch Hu, it's called rachmana. The Torah is called rachmana, right? Rachmana. Rabbi Abache says, like you said, Roy Lomash Yaakov Ish Emes, Kevin Shem Midaso Emes, right? Midaso Emes. His Mida is Emes. He's the Torah. He's Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Oelim. He's the Tam, you know, like just like the Tiyomes. The Tiyomes in the Meluv, right, is the leaf that holds together, where it's the structure. Certainly, if you, I mean, it's a machlok exactly when we talk about the tiyomis in Hilchos Lulav. Are we talking about the derech way we be paskin, right? Is the central shaft, right, which is formed of two leaves that join together to become one, right? But the fact is, it could be we're talking about the dinim of tiyomis because we're talking about robe of the up of the leaves, the top. But they're all, as it were, a formation, a double leaf. A leaf that's combined with two pieces, and the something that is held together, that's called a tiyomis. So Yaakov is the ish emes. He's the ish emes, right? Because he's the ish tam. He is the one who holds together the two poles of Avram and Yitzchak. He holds it together through what? Through emes, through Torah. It's through Torah also that a person is in love with Ribbono Shalom. You can't really, you know, if you just, let's say you're just a total recipient from someone who's giving to you. So you appreciate it and you have what you call it and you do love them because they give to you, give you, do, give you, give you, give you, give you, give you. But the fact is that what you call it, your love can only be deepened if you know who the other person is. Right? I mean, it's different types of love, etc. But it becomes kav yochel. You become a partner, a love and partner, like a husband and wife relationship. Is only the more you know the person, you know them, you know them, you know them, you know them. The more you know them, the more you become one. The more you become attached to one another. So therefore, the idea of what the Maharal speaks about is that Yaakov's midah is rachmi, which is love, right? Ava, ohev, etc. And that which the Rabbeinu Bache talks about, the Yaakov's midah is emes, is Torah, is really two sides of the same coin. Because the only way to know the Ribbono Shel Olam, just like the Rambam says in the Sefer Mitzvos, that the way to Ava, like we say in V'ahavta, the mitzvah of what do you call it, of Kriya Shema, is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, right? That's the first step, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, Ahavaso V'Talmudo. That's how he defines it. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is first Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, except that Hashem is one. Then Ahavaso, you love Him, and then Talmudo, learning His Torah, because learning His Torah is the way that you expand your love for Him. Kate said, "How do you love Him? Like it says in Ve'ahavta, Ve'ahavta as Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafsha v'chol nimetzecha. How much do you do that? Right? Because you know." Okay, I love him. B'chol avavi, right? Shnei yitzarai, fine. B'chol nafshi, I'm more to die. Everybody will go rather than, God forbid, show any lack of love for him. B'chol meodecha, and whatever he gives me in life, and not only that, but, whatever my money, whatever money I have, we call it, dedicated also to showing my love for him. How are you supposed to foster that relationship? Are you supposed to suck it out of your thumb? If the words of Torah are on your heart, then the way you'll express it, you'll express it. That's the way you'll do it. So Talmudo, as it were, Talmudo, the Torah, in all of its facets, in all of its mitzvahs, in its limud, in its application, etc., generates the connection, right? The connection, those bonds of emes, because the Torah is emes. The Torah is emes. Those bonds of emes that a person involves himself in limur, in asiya, right, through mitzvos, etc., those generate love. So that being the case, so let's start our parsha. It says, Ve'elam mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. Elam mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. Right, the first pasuk in the parsha. So it says, Rashi, Ve'elam mishpatim, Kol mokam shenemar eile pasal es rishonim ve'eile mosif al rishonim. In other words, if the word just said eile without a vav, so it means this is it, and we record, and this is the total explanation. There is nothing else. In other words, we're just explaining what we said before, and we're negating to a degree what we said before. But it says ve'eile, it's mosif, right? Ve'eile mishpatim. Ve'ele mosif al rishonim, ma rishonim Sinai, af elu Sinai. Just as that which you saw in last week's parsha, Yisro, or from Sinai, so to all of this is from Sinai. Then Rashi continues, v'lama nismecha parshas dinim, the parshas mizbeach. The last inyan in parshas Yisro was the mizbeach. That's what it says. The last thing it says, mizbeach adama ta'aseli This last pasuk in Yisro, v'zavachta lo v'solosecho v'shlomecho v'stzoncho v'spikorecho v'chol makom asher azkir shmi avo elecha uvirachticha. And now ve'elam mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. So says Rashi, v'lam minisuch ha'parshas dinim l'parshas mizbeach. Why is the parsha of dinim juxtaposed to the parsha of the mizbeach? Lo melecha, to tell you, shetasim sanhedrin eitzel, right? Mamikdosh eitzel ha'mizbeach. It's really eitzel, everybody call it. That you should place the sanhedrin inside the base of mikdosh, near the mizbeach. And the last thing spoken about Yisro was the mizbeach. Ve'elam mishpatim, right? Who are the grand implementers, as it were, of the mishpatim? The Sanhedrin. That needs to be near, they need to be near the mizbeach. That's why the Sanhedrin seat was inside the Beis HaMikdash in the Lishkat HaGozis, in the court of hewn stone.
Why is that?
So they could be close to the mizbeach, like the pasuk says over here. They should be close to the mizbeach.
What is their symbol like?
What's the connection between the Sanhedrin and the mizbeach?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's what we're going to do. What does it mean?
What does it mean? How?
Right.
Why?
That's what we're going to do.
They could put it anywhere.
Right.
They could put it in...
But they put it next to Mizbeach.
They could put it in Tel Aviv.
God forbid. But you call it belongs in the space of Mikdash. I mean, I have nothing against Tel Aviv. I'm just saying it belongs in the space of Mikdash near the Mizbeach.
They could put it near the Supreme Court.
Okay, could you please really call it, restrain yourself? There are serious people who are listening to this as well. Okay. Now... Okay. Okay. So what does it say? What does it say in last week's parsha? Right? In last week's parsha, in Yisro, v'gabed the mizbeach, it says v'losale, right? V'losale b'ma'alos al mizbechi, right? V'losale, very last pasuk, talking about the mizbeach in parsha Yisro, v'losale b'ma'alos al mizbechi asher lo sigale ervascha alav. Do not walk up on stairs to the mizbeach, to my mizbeach, says Hashem, asher lo segale ervascha alav, that you should not reveal your nakedness upon it. Okay? So Rashi says over there, asher lo segale ervascha, shayde hamalos atatzorich laharchiv psiosecha, that through the malos, through your taking steps, you have to separate your feet. Right, because you have to raise them in order to be able to arise upon the next step. Whereas if you have a ramp, a kevesh, so then you can do, walk heel to toe. Right? Pavel Pisha, you know, golui gilui erba mamish. Ah, but you're not really being magali or erba, right? Because he's wearing pants, right? The michnasayim are part of the big dekuna. Shareksiv asalehem michnasay bad. You have to make the mechnasayim. Mikol makom herchav harchoves hapsios korov legilo yerva. When you have to separate your legs in order to step up upon the stairs, so that korov, it's not gilo yerva, but it is an action that if, were you not wearing pants, it would reveal, right? It would be more revealing than necessary. In other words, if you're walking up a ramp, you can, as it were, go through an act that's less, yeah, potentially revealing than walking up the stairs. Right? Kol v'gir erbo va'ata noig behem minag bizayon, and that's a lessening of the kavod over there. It's an act which is, yeah, which lowers the process of dignity involved, the bizayon, right? Debasing. It's debasing. Right? Dvarim kal v'chomer, says Rashi. And this limur over here are words of kal v'chomer. Right? Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer, right? Uma avanim halalu, these stones she'ain behem das lahakpid, they have no mind, they have no das, they have no understanding or knowledge to be offended, right? Al bizyonan, that you're doing what has the potential to be a debasing act vis-a-vis them. Amra Torah hoil yesh behem tzorech lo tenayeg behem minhag bizayon. The need for these stones, right? They're part of the mizbeach. Therefore, don't treat them with disdain. Don't treat them in a debasing fashion. Chavercha shu bedmus yotzracha. Your friend who is, yeah, created in kavyachol, in the image, we'll use that word, it's not the best word to use, but I have for lack of whatever. Yeah, it's in similarity, yeah? Similar to your Creator. He is kaviyachol created similar to your Creator, your friend who's created similar to your Creator, umakfid al bizyono, and he does take offense. If you would recall, if you shame him, if you debase him, if you show a lack of respect towards him. Al achas kama v'kama. Certainly you have to be careful of the way that you deal with him. Certainly you have to be careful in the way that you deal with him. You have to show concern for him. You have to show care for him. And you must treat him with the ultimate respect, as it were. Right? Realizing his unbelievable value. So now, the Mizbeach itself, and we talked about this before, the Mizbeach itself, we said, is a misnomer. That's right. It's almost an inappropriate terminology. Because a mizbeach is a lashon of zvicha. Right? We've talked about this before. Mizbeach is a lashon of zvicha, of shchita. Shchita. So the mizbeach is not a place. Shchita.
Okay.
Yeah. What? Teshecht. Right. Teshecht. Right. So the mizbeach was not a place of shchita.
Is also forgetting.
Shchita. No, that's a shikha.
So it means strike.
No.
Human strike is called a
That's a shvita.
Shvita.
Are we playing anagrams here? Shvita means shvita. Shvita is a strike. Shikha is forgetting, right? And supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, is something completely different. What?
And what's the word for playing?
Playing?
Kids play outside.
That's a mischak. And swimming is schia, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about shchita, shechting. We're talking about shechting. So the mizbeach, it's a misnomer to call the mizbeach a mizbeach. It's a misnomer to call it a mizbeach because it's not a place of shchita. It's a place of zrika. They sprinkled the blood. It's a place of haktorah where they burned different parts of the korban. The shechita technically you could do on the mizbeach, but that certainly wasn't a normal place to do it. The normal place to do it on the floor.
Then you're throwing the blood.
Right, throwing the blood or burning up the different parts, right? It's a bidyuk. So now, right, you're into the kachim, right? So shechita is an inappropriate term. It is zvicha, mizbeach. It should be a miktara. Or it should be called a mizraka.
Why is it in the first place? What's the pasuk say?
I'm just saying the word mizbeach. The word mizbeach
has a connotation of
it's connotation of shchita, but it wasn't a place of shchita. It was a place of haktorah, you know, where you burnt it up, or a place of zrika, where you sprinkled the blood. It wasn't a place of shchita. Again, if you did the shchita, it would be kosher. They talk about that in Zvachim, right? Which side of the mizbeach you're standing, what do you call it? Prince of Kosher Kadoshim, Kosher Kalim, etc. But that's not the normal place. Why name it for something that's abnormally done there? The normal part is the sprinkling, the burning. Because, the reason is, because there was one korban that was meant to be shechted on the mizbeach, and that was Yitzchak. That was Yitzchak. Yitzchak was meant to be shechted on the mizbeach. Avram put him on the mizbeach and was going to shecht him, except the Malach stopped him. So the word mizbeach, the concept of the mizbeach, speaks to the mida of Yitzchak, right? That my life is not mine; my life is yours, Rabbeinu Shalom. So take it. Right? I can't hold it back. I know before whom I stand. I know who my life belongs to. So therefore, the whole essence of the whole concept of the Mizbeach, is, as it were, is like Ramban says in Vayikra, it's Ki'ilu, we're stepping into the fire. We're bringing a Korban in our place. But it's Ki'ilu, we're stepping into the fire. Our life is His. The act of giving the korban is a symbolic, act of ki'ilu, this should be happening to me. And all the processes, etc., that are associated with hakrovas hakorban.
Why would you think that? I don't understand. Why would you think that? You think the mizbeach, it should be me?
That's not mine. That's the Ramban. Right? That's what he called us about the idea of korbanos. The idea of korbanos is what he called is that what I'm, in those, I'm giving in my place. I understand. I'm giving that in my place. Right? The whole concept of the mizbeach is what he called is speech to the midah of Yitzchak. walking up to the stones, walking up the steps, right, is what he called is the ultimate concern for what he called for one's fellow, giving to one's fellow and not debasing one's fellow, etc. Speaks to the meat of Abraham, right? The complete concern for the other, etc. So the process of the Mizbeach, right? You could have said, you know, you could have said that you know, it's so totally Jewish. So totally Jewish. You could have thought, if anything, right? Rashi's saying, why is there a kevesh? So you shouldn't walk up the stairs. Why? Because walking up the stairs, one spans one's legs. So I would have stopped there. We're in the midst of a holy enterprise over here. The holy enterprise is I'm fire in devotion to give myself to Rabbeinu Shalom. That's a Mizbeach. It's true, I'm not going to actually go up there. Yitzhak was willing to go up there. I'm going to put an animal in my place, etc. Right? But it's holy devotion. So I'd say in the midst of holy devotion, so there should be the total negation of anything impure, right? The erva, right? And therefore, we go up a ramp rather than walking up the steps, right? But Rashi doesn't stop there. Rashi says, you know why there's a ramp and not steps? Is because this idea of debasement, etc., is not referring per se right now to you're in a holy fervor vis-a-vis your Creator, and therefore you must remove yourself from anything that's debasing. But it focuses on the idea that you have to show the ultimate concern and non-debasement attitude towards stones. And from there we learn that's the way you should treat, right, your fellow. You should treat your fellow. So in Yahadus there is no such thing as holy fervor that comes at the expense, right, of what he called of your fellow. They join together. The process of holy fervor is like they used to say, I think they said in the name of Rishon Lezion, a person has the ability to beat somebody else to death with a Sefer Torah. Right? Right? In other words, if you are not living the Jewish way, you're just living a way of zealousness that of your own design, you know, fervor of your own design. So how would you put together these two ideas? But in the Mizbeach, those two ideas are put together: religious fervor with concern for the other. Comes Rashi and says in the beginning of Mishpatim, Ve'ele Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem, right? Ve'ele Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem. That's addressing the dinim of the Torah, right? The limud of Torah and the application of the Torah. Ve'ele Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem. Like Rashi says, like a Shulchan Aruch, it's laid out in front of you. Says Rashi, why is this juxtaposed to the Parsha Mizbeach? To tell you, yeah, that the Sanhedrin, who are the symbol and the grand implementers, they are the example par excellence of the implementation of the complex dinim of the Torah. And here, all these dinim parshas mishpatim, you know, things that are very, very much involved in what he called in Olam Hazeh events, Evet Ivri, and what he called in Nizikin, and Shavas Aveda, and all these things, you know, the everyday stuff, the implementers of all the dinim of the Torah has to be the exquisite painting of Torah in our lives has to be on the reka, has to be on the canvas, it has to be on the backdrop of the lessons of the Mizbeach, where fervor on the one hand and concern for the other on the other hand are joined hands, and upon that canvas is written the Torah. That generates hashgacha. That generates we call the level of hashgacha, etc. Just like Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, each one of them, like we said before, from the Nefesh HaChaim, because they were completely bonded to the Rabbeinu Shalom, each one focusing primarily, not exclusively, but primarily upon their unique midos, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, right? So that created that unique level of an intensity of hashgacha with each of them. So too here, as we complete the Aseres HaDibros in last week's Parsha, and the last thing we learn about is the Mizbeach, which joins together the concept of holy fervor, the mid of Yitzchak, right? Together with what he calls the mid of Avram, the concern for this, the, what he calls for one's other friend, etc., etc., not to debase him in any way, on contrary, by Avram Lehevach, you get to even give to them, etc. Those two concepts join together, they fuse together, and the Torah, the complete, all the specifics and the pratim and all the details of the Torah as taught in Elim Mishpatim, that tells us that the Sanhedrin has to be near the Mizbeach. The Torah is painted upon the canvas of a lesson learned from the Mizbeach.
That's the completeness of the Torah?
Right. The Torah, we put, you have the three things together.
What are
right?
The three things?
Right. We've got the Torah here. We've got all the dinim, the specifics. Right? Sometimes we forget.
Or who would you say the Torah represents? Yaakov?
Yaakov.
And then the dinim is Yitzhak?
No, he quote here. All these dinim, everybody quote, I'm saying is mitzad Yaakov. The holy fervor in the Mizbeach, I'm saying is mitzad Yitzhak, and the concern for, what he quote, not debasing one's fellow, etc. Total concern for the other, and not just to be concerned with myself, I'm saying, suggesting is Avraham.
Oh, very nice.
Okay? So that's what he called, that's mitzad Echad. And that's the world of what he called, and that generates hashgacha.
Encapsulation.
Right. Right.
When spell that.
We'll talk about it later. What he called, yeah. So when that generates what he called the concept of hashgacha. At the end of the parsha, all the way at the end of the parsha.
What about the middle? You skipping? Sorry.
This is the classical example, right? Right. Remember, dala mala mala mikha, right? Ayin roa, ve'ozen shamas, ve'chol ma'asecha ve'sefer nechtavim, right? So, as much as really caught as you know, and I'm familiar with this. It's really caught. You know, I say something and I say, oh, I shouldn't have said that, but it's okay because it's gone. But here, as we're recording this, this is symbolic of what life is about. Everything we do, we say, okay, it's forgotten. It's buried in the past. But everything is written upstairs. Okay, I understand. I understand. Record. You know, I know you asked the question. I know you asked the question. Yeah. So here at the end.
What part? What part?
At the end of what is this? This Chumash has got some problems here. At the end of Mishpatim. Well, it's actually no. He's still here. He's still Chav Dalet. At the end of Mishpatim, Perkov Dalet, Pasuk Tes. Right? So at the end of Mishpatim, we return back to completing the scenario of Matan Torah.
Say that again?
We return back to the scenario of Matan Torah. This is with Nasav and Nishma, etc. At the end of Mishpatim, it's like Kilu, we're now finishing what we started. Right? We started in Parshas Yisro. All of a sudden, we have the Mishpatim. And then we'll come back to finishing Matan Torah. What does it say there? It says in Perek Chavdalet Pasuk Tes. It says Vayal Moshe v'Aaron Nadav Aviv v'Shivim Mizikne Yisrael Vayiru Es Elokei Yisrael V'Sachas Raglav Kimase Livna Sasapir U'Cheetam Hashamayim Latoar. They saw Kovyochol Elokei Yisrael Kovyochol Es Olur Bonsholom. Right? I mean, obviously, this is a vision. The sachas raglav and beneath his feet, kemase livna sasapir. It's like the workings of the whiteness of the sapir stone. Right? A clear stone. Right?
They saw underneath Hashem's feet
the sapir. Kav yachal, the record, like the workings of livnas, the whiteness of the sapir stone.
Uch etam ha-shamayim la-tohar. Why do you describe the workings? Wasn't it something...
I'm only translating the word. Kemase. Like the what do you call it? Livnas HaSapir, something that's made, right, what do you call it? According or with the Livnas HaSapir, uche'etzem hashamayim latohar, and like the essence of the heaven in its purity. Now again, that doesn't mean a lot to us. Right? That's just a lot of words. Okay. The el atzilei bnei Yisrael lo shalach yado, and to the princes of the Jewish people, Hashem did not. Shalach Yado implies an act of, he didn't do them damage. Right? Shlichus Yad, for instance, the din of Shlichus Yad, if you as a word have something you have to watch in Hilchas Shomrim, and you use it, right? You record, you use it, and you record, that's the, you have no right. You're infringing.
That's not true all the time.
If you, it is.
If someone
true.
Gives you money, you're allowed to use it temporarily.
That's not called a shomer. That's called a halva. Someone's lending you money.
No, if you, someone gives you money to hold, and remember this, Rabbi Moore. Someone gives you money to hold, to save, keep. You're allowed to use it and then return it.
The money is what he called is because money doesn't make any difference in the matbea. But if let's say I give you my vase to watch, you're not allowed to use it. That's called shlichus yad.
Okay, but even the Gemara says if you have a sefer Torah, if you have sefers in your house, and it's afraid it's going to create damage. It's going to work. It's going to be damaged by not using it. You are obligated to use it.
Why? What do you call it? Why in the world are you bringing this? Then you're servicing it. You're not using it. By using it, you're servicing it, right? But something where you're servicing is what do you call it? Where you're using it only for your benefit. That's called shlichus yad. Right?
No particular purpose.
Right. What do you call it? Well, you want to use it for yourself, right? That's called shlichus yad. You're not allowed to do it. Shlo shalach yado. Right? He didn't, as it were, he didn't do them any harm. Vayechzos elokim, and they saw kaviyochel the brikolor boshom vayochlu vayishtu.
You have to start now. I got distracted.
You mean you distracted yourself?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, as long as we have that clear, right? I didn't distract you.
So why are we getting on the subject? Is he using something? Yeah, without the word.
I was explaining the word shlichus yad.
Shlichus yad,
right? Shalach yado. Shalach yado. He didn't send us. It implies record an act record of a damaging act, right? A damaging act. And he wasn't shalach yad, even though they saw record Elohim, etc. Vayochlu v'yishtu. Fine.
I still don't understand. What did he see?
We have to concentrate here because these psukim are very complex. Right? It says they went up, by U.S. L.K. Israel. They saw Kav Yochel, something very special.
Under his feet, with his
hand. Right? Okay, let's forget about that, without getting lost in that. Uchesem Hashem the Torah, Ve'latzile ben Yisrael lo shalach yado. Just stop there. And Hashem did not do any damaging act to them. In other words, it implies that they deserved to have some damaging act done to them.
Because they went up the mountain and they saw.
They saw something they shouldn't have looked at.
Okay,
fine.
But they did get it. Went to the Zachin. Okay, go ahead. I'm not going to stop. Go ahead.
What?
They eventually got punished,
but now they didn't get punished, right? That's from Rashi. But Yiret Elokei Yisrael, Nistaklu v'hetzitzu, right? They looked, right? They peeked. V'nischaibu misa, and they deserved to die. That's what Rashi says. El Shalorotza Koshboku la'arbev simchas ha-Torah. Koshboku didn't want to disturb, right? The simcha of receiving the Torah, because we were talking about Matan Torah. V'himtim l'nodav aviyu ad yom chanukas ha-mishkan. He waited for nodav aviyu. They paid the price on what's called the day of the Chanukah HaMishkan, when the Mishkan was inaugurated. They died then when they brought the Eish Zara before Hashem, etc. Laskenim ad yevahia am kimisonim, and they would require the skenim, right? For them, these would call the elders who looked what they shouldn't have looked at, etc. They were punished at Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Baloscha, vahia am kimisonim. It says vativar bam eish, and a fire. It says over there in Parshas Baloscha, fire burnt in their midst. Vatochel the ktsei amachane, right? The ktsei amachane, according to this parish in Rashi, is the ktsinim amachane, the princes, the royalty, as it were. A fire burned and burnt them up.
No,
none of Aviv were in the Mishkan on the eighth day, right? On the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan.
Oh,
and what do you call it? And the Skanim were later on in Parshas Baloscha and Bamidbar.
Okay, got it.
Okay, good.
Eventually they were killed.
Eventually, right. Okay. Rashi says, Kemas Elivnas Hasapir. There's like the workings of the Livnas Hasapir.
The building of the story?
Like the Masai, like the workings. Livnas, right? Can mean white, right? White. Sapir, of the Sapir stone. Okay?
The Meissen was.
If you saw it, Rashi's
commenting on this phrase.
Right, he's saying it's like you look at something, you see that it's like it's made out of diamonds. Like it's like a lattice work. Right, a lattice work, you know, that would go made out of diamond. Right, that's an amazing thing. So Rashi says, he brings from Gemara Sota, he haisel afana b'shas ha-shibud. This was before Hashem, in the time of the Shibud. Lizkor tzarasim shel Yisrael, right? To see the tzara of Yisrael, to see the tzara of Yisrael. Shahayu mishubadim b'maisa levenim. So Rashi says the idea of livnas is not whiteness, it's miloshon levena, a brick. In other words, below they saw a kovyochol v'sakas raglov. Kimase livnas asapir ruchetzem hashamayim tor. They saw a kovyochol underneath his feet, kovyochol underneath these visions that they saw was kimase livnas asapir, like the workings of levenim, right? The bricks, which bricks? The bricks that the Jews made had to make in Egypt. In order to build when they were subjugated there. Livnas asapir. Right? Shahayu meshubadim b'maase levenim. They were meshubad to the making of levenim, of bricks, in order to build Paro's pyramids, etc. So that, etc., Paro's buildings, whatever it is. Yeah? So therefore, Rashi understands the pasuk is saying, Vayiru, they saw Kovyokol as Elokei Yisrael. The sachas raglav and beneath his feet, right? Kemase, like the mase livnas hasap, mase livnas, right? Mase livnas. That means like he saw as it were the something that conjured up the working of Klai Yisrael, the subjugation, right? The servitude of Klai Yisrael as they're making bricks, right? There was something that symbolized. Right, the making of those bricks in Mitzrayim
with sapir stone.
So now, then it says what he called now with the sapir, uchetzem is made out of the sapir stone. The sapir stone is this clear stone, etc.
So what did they see? They saw this. This is what Rashi is explaining. What they actually saw.
They didn't see
the sapir stone, but they saw the bricks.
They saw the bricks, right, made out of sapir stone.
Uh-huh.
Right, and they saw bricks made out of sapir stone. Right, uchetzem hashamayim latohar. Right, and record, and they saw, as Rashi says, Mishenigalu hayor v'chedva lefonav, and they saw at the same time, right? They saw the light when after the Jewish people were redeemed, they saw the light and the joy before him.
That's weird.
So in other words, they had a vision of seeing, right, of understanding that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, kept and always keeps. The what he called the pain of the Jewish people before him, right? They saw the kemat and livnas a sapir made of the same sapir stone, right? The sapir stone, right? Uchetzem hashamayim latohar, and at the same time they saw the experience. They're looking at two different things in time. If they're looking at the livnas a sapir, right? So they're looking at the bricks, which is the time of servitude. And at the same time, they saw, right, they saw also Chetam Hashemayim L'Tohar, they saw the great light that is experienced in heaven at the time of the Jewish people's redemption.
Right. They have all of their pain.
Right. So they're seeing, as it were, right, they're seeing.
This is what the elders saw.
Right. They're seeing at the same time that in heaven there exists. Right, as it were, the involvement, the connection of Hashem to the Jewish people, the connecting of Hashem to the pain of the Jewish people in the form of what we call the livnas, right? The maase livnas, right? The maase livnas, it's made out of the sapphire stone, right? And at the same time, they're seeing the joy and the light in heaven, ke'etzem hashamayim l'torah, like the essence of the heaven and all of its purity. They're seeing the two things at the same time. These are two different experiences, obviously, in Jewish history, as far as we're concerned. Right? Right? Servitude is servitude. It's pain and suffering, etc. It's pain and suffering. It's pain and suffering. And Geula is rejoicing. They saw those two things there in Shemayim at the same time. The stira. It's a stira. You see a paradox. And it's all there in Shemayim at the same time. It's made out of the sapphire stone. The sapphire stone, the Mefarshim talk about the idea that it's clear, and as you pass, as we call it,
you have to have a lot of pain before we redeem.
I'm not saying anything. I'm saying that's what you see. That's what they saw. right? It's made out of sapphire stone. Sapphire stone is a clear stone, very cool, which can reflect, just like a prism. As you shine the light through it, it creates many different colors. Right? Many different colors. So there they saw, Kemase Livnas HaSapir, that in this, through the sapphire stone, is reflected all different types of colors. So here once also they're seeing in Shemayim, they're seeing on the one hand, the episode of pain, of suffering, right? And at the same time they're seeing next to it, they're seeing the glory and the light and the rejoicing of the Gula. It's all there in Shemayim. The Malbim says, that the fact that they're referred to over here, as I saw Elokei Yisrael, he differentiates between when Hashem is referred to as Elohim,
the Malbim,
he refers to him as Elohim, and he's referred to as Elokei Yisrael. When he's referred to as Elohim, so that means the way he guides the world, b'derech hateva. It's all Hashem's will, right? But he guides the world b'derech hateva. Like we said before, Elohim, with a hey, is gematria hateva, 86. When he's called Elokei Yisrael, says the Malbim, so then his hashgacha synchronizes with the acts of the Jewish people.
Say that again?
It synchronizes with the acts, with the events, with that which the Jewish people do.
When
Klal Yisrael, right? When Hashem is referred to as Elokei Yisrael, as opposed to Elokim, that means Hashgacha is now in sync with the actions of Klal Yisrael. That's why he says the symbolism in Maase Livnas HaSapir, right? That the entry into the of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world on a level what we call Elokei Yisrael, right, is through the Maase Livnas, through the servitude of Klal Yisrael, which eventually led to the Esther Makos, which eventually led to Kriyas Hamzivos, which eventually led to Matan Torah, right, etc. So in other words, the Jewish people's actions, that which happens to them, that which they survive, that which they endure, that which they do, as it were, that generates the concept of Elokei Yisrael. Again, this is not using the words the same way as Rashi is using it. Right? He's saying that the concept of Elokei Yisrael is emanating from the relationship, from that which Klal Yisrael it undergoes, endures, does in this world. That generates Elokei Yisrael.
That should be all the time.
It's all the time. All the time. All the time.
The Rabban would say that as well.
Okay, that's what he called.
I don't know.
Okay.
So why are you saying that? Just in general?
Why am I saying it?
What's so pertinent about the pasuk or the statement?
So again, we started off the parsha talking about the fundamentals of what he called the fundamentals of how we generate Hashem's Hashgacha upon us. Right? We saw the Avos, and then in turn, in the juxtapositioning of what he called of the Mizbeach, as Rashi taught us.
Right.
Yeah, to Parshas Mishpatim taught us, and how we generate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, what he called, upon us.
So the Avos, we saw the Avos, the Mizbeach. What else did we see?
The Mizbeach, I'm saying the juxtaposition of the Mizbeach to the Mishpatim,
right?
Showed how that's how we generate, Hashem's Hashgacha upon us. Just as each of the Avos, as it were, generate unique Hashgacha through their deep, deep connection to Hashem, each one primarily through his particular wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
In turn, the Jewish people, they generate the special Hashgacha upon, what he called upon themselves through the portrait of the Torah as painted upon the canvas of the lessons learned from the Mizbeach. Holy fervor bonded together with concern for one's fellow. Nachon?
Okay.
Right? And that's how we generate our Hashgacha, etc. Right?
Okay, fine.
Okay. At the end of the Parsha, Right? At the end of the parsha, what's happening is what he called is the Atzilei B'nai Yisrael, these when princes.
On, when you go on to the return of what happening at Sinai.
About Sinai, we see that they are getting a sneak, inappropriate preview, right, into the inner workings in heaven of how all these things work together. Right? The inner workings of how these things work in heaven.
At the end of the parsha, we're saying how they saw Hashem, how Hashem works.
They saw, they would call Kaviyokal, they saw
Avos, through the
Livnat HaSapir, through what we call the times of difficulty, the times of Mitzrayim, and it's all together in Shemayim, also with the glory and the happiness of the Gula. It's all there. It's all there. Right? It's all there.
We're not seeing how Hashem works, but we're seeing how concerned he is, how he loves Jewish people. We're seeing that relationship.
You are seeing though both those things are there in Shemayim, right? You know, we tend to look at when times are tough, like when you go Kilu, Hashem is ignoring us. God forbid, He's not ignoring us. It's all upstairs at the same time because there is no time upstairs. It's all there. The Livnas HaSapir, right? The workings of Levanim, etc. Yeah, the difficult times that they went through. The Levanim, like Rashi says, he brings from the Gemara and Sota. And the Etam Shamayim Latoar and the glory and the happiness of the Gula are all sitting there in Shamayim now. They're all there. They're all there. They're all there.
In present, future Gula.
The Gula they experienced then, or the Gula of the Asid, it's all there. It's all there. It's all there. The Netziv, the Hamikdavar, right? He brings down.
So they saw. They saw the explanation that the Zakenim saw, and they saw our relationship with Hashem.
Okay. The Netziv says he brings down. Right. He
Which
says,
is "Hope for the future." Sorry.
Relax. Okay. Recall. The Netziv says, right, that when we talk about Kodesh Baruch Hu Kilis being Yoshev al Kiso, the Kisei Kobot, the Kmo Melech Basar Adam, here in this first Netziv, the Kmo Melech Basar Adam, Yoshev al Kiso, Behicholo, Umashdiach al Medina, he sits upon his throne, and he record, and he guides his country.
Where is that? Is that a passage somewhere?
No, this is just the writings of the Witty Court of the Netziv, right? Of the Hamikdavar. The Chol Mayano Ba, his whole interest is in, you know, the necessity, the betterment, etc. of his country. The Atachlis, Kaka Kodesh Baruch Hu Koviyokol, so to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Vashamayim Kiso, his throne is in heaven. The Dan, and he judges, the Mechashev, and he records, and he calculates, Ala Oretz, Eich Lahanhiga, Lefi Maaseh Bnei Adam, how to guide it according to the deeds of man. Again, because we say, okay, Israel here. The Oretz, and the goal of all of creation is how man brings Hashem's presence, right, is recorded onto the earth. The heavens are my throne, and the place of my feet, right, my footstool is the earth.
Is this Almond or is this Jews?
Over here, primarily we're talking about Jews, because we're talking about a little K Israel over here. Miloshin Sof Kmo Regal Har. Right? Again, there's what he called, there also relates to what he called the non-Jewish world also to a degree, but it's not quite the same thing. Right? Because we call the Jews have accepted the Torah, no one else is interested in accepting the Torah, so therefore their fine-tuning is not the same. Perish Sof Ishtaushul Ashgocha. That's the goal of Hashem's Ashgocha is upon the earth. Ki Alzeh Hatachlis Nivra Hakol. Right? The goal is that the earth should be filled with Kvot Shemayim. V'hinei, b'shir Hashirim, right? In Shir Hashirim, when it talks about the praise the Jewish people give to the Rabbon Shalom, it says, Omar HaMeshorer HaKadosh, Shalom HaMelech writes, Rosho Kesem Paz. Hashem's head, the head, is like, what he called, is like made out of pure gold. The chain al sofa pu'ula, and so too at the bottom, right? The bottom with the resulting pu'ula is al sofa pu'ula shu mechunim b'shehem mechunim b'shehem adonim, like the sockets, right? The sockets upon, like say with the walls of the Mishkan stood upon.
This
is really cool. He's bringing the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, and he's saying how in Shir Hashirim Klai Yisrael describes Kaviyachol, metaphorically, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Rosho Kesem Paz, his head Kaviyachol, and as the head meaning the source of everything, the source of every intention, is pure gold, is pure. Mechunim b'shem Adonim, and the bottom, right?
How did he put any description at all?
This is Shir Hashirim. It's what do you call it? It's metaphorical, right? And the bottom, where his actions ultimately end up here on earth, those are called the Adonim, the sockets upon which everything is built. Amar, it says about them, Shokav Amudei Shayish.
What are sockets? What?
Eye sockets? No, sockets in the Adonim in the Mishkan. Those were the things in which you put things on the walls, as it were, stood inside these receptacles, were called sockets. Adonim.
In the walls of the base Mishkan?
The walls of the Mishkan. The walls of the Mishkan. Right? There were two, what you call, like you dovetail your things, what do you call, coming down to the bottom of the walls, and they fit into, right, these golden sockets that lay on the ground that were heavy, and that gave it, what do you call, that gave it stability.
This on the Mizbeach or the Mishkan?
The Mishkan, the walls of the Mishkan.
In the desert.
Right. So it says, what do you call, symbolically, Rosho Kesem Paz, right? And the bottom are the Adonim, right? Right? The
sockets.
Right, the sockets, those are called Adnei Paz.
What's Adnei?
Adonim. Not Adon. And Eden is what he called, is the sockets, the things are put into. So they're called Adnei Paz. They're sockets of gold. And in the middle are Kaviyachol Shokov, his thighs are like Amudei Shesh, right? They're like made out of marble.
The middle of the wall of the Mishkan.
Again, the Kaviyachol they're describing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's no picture to paint. We're talking here of Kaviyachol, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is being described.
Right,
like a king.
Like a king head of gold.
Whose head is gold, and his feet are gold, and his thighs Kaviyachol. Again, we use these are all metaphors. His thighs, you know, the process by which it wends its way down from Shemayim to the earth, those are made out of marble, etc. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's not gold. It's not gold. If you ask which is more precious, right? It's not that. You know, the pure gold is at the top. The pure gold is at the bottom, and it wends its way down through what you call marble.
What about the sockets here on the Mishkan?
Again, I'm only using the Mishkan. I was only using the Mishkan to explain to you what the word Aden meant.
Okay, uh-huh.
Right?
Okay.
We're not really caught.
I'm crossing it off my notes.
Okay.
You got me distracted.
Okay. Omnam. Omnam bentayim. This is a real laugh. Omnam bentayim, right? Vishtalshu samasim. Ne'alam mikoach. Enosh l'chavin ta'arasan basher nizbechu b'cheshbonos rabim aydeim tsoim shluchi Hashem. The top is gold and pure. The bottom result is also pure.
His feet.
Right? But the way when it goes, what do you call it, the process there is hidden. You don't see because there are lots of different things, right? Lots of different, as it were, actions and reactions that hide, the attachment, the purity of the source to the purity of the result, right? In other words, everything, the kavana is always good. It's always pure. It's 100% pure. Uh-huh. And the source is always pure. But the methodologies are not always so clear. That's life. That is life. Because they peered at that, and they weren't worthy, they deserve to leave the world. Right? Right. Because a person, has to live in this world according to his machita, according to his madrega. Right? According to his madrega. When they saw this,
a person has to live according to his madrega.
Right. So when they saw this, what they do afterwards is vayu. It says afterwards in the psukim. What does it say? It says, right? It says vayelatil b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado. Hashem didn't do anything to them now. Vayechlu et lukim the kaviyachol Yisrael b'Rosh Hashanah. Vayochul yishtu, they ate and they drank. They weren't, but of course, it's they returned just to eating and drinking afterwards. They needed to revive themselves. Wow, that was a real experience. This level of vision, right? To have this level of clarity, right? If you're worthy for it, you don't need to eat and drink afterwards. So then see it. Because it's as though the spiritual experience is all you need. But
they couldn't stay on that level. They didn't become.
I understand, but they weren't worthy to look upon it.
But they did look upon it.
They weren't dead, but they deserved to die.
Because they look. But what about their transformation as people?
Again, we're not talking about their transformation as people. Right now, they ate and drank afterwards. I mean, they weren't worthy to just live off the spiritual experience of them. See, because they weren't on a madrega. They needed, as it were, to restore, to revive themselves through eating and drinking. That's just the proof in the pudding. They really weren't worthy for it.
Therefore, they had to die.
Therefore, eventually, because you stepped out of your place here, right? You stepped out of your place. So long and short.
Hey, but Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe Rabbeinu
was an exception.
Right, Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was on that madriga. Right? And even Moshe Rabbeinu, Akhenim says to him, well, you're only out of a high. Total clarity, you can't have and still be alive. Because this world is a world of what he called, of where something has to be hidden, right? Something has to be hidden. If you're going to have total clarity, right here, then you can't be here. This is not a world of total clarity. Here's the world of avoda, of service. And then afterwards is the world of schar, of clarity. So basically...
Moshe had or he didn't have it?
Whatever they saw, he could see, etc., right? But there is such a thing as Lo Yirani Adam Vachai. Hashem told him, right, in Parshas Kisisa, right? Whatever. That total clarity you can't have here and still be alive. The long and short of the whole discussion is...
No one's on that madriga.
Right. Again, I don't want to just get into esoterica. Yeah. The long and short... Well, say it, but the idea, the purpose of all this is really close from the esoterica to get down to Lomaisa, right? To Lomaisa. The long and short is, yeah, the beginning of the Parsha is the juxtapositioning of all the Mishpatim, right, to what he called the Mizbeach, and the lesson that we learned over there. And that's how we generate an intense Hashgacha with us, right, with the Rabbonu Shalom, right? Just as the Avos did individually, so too as Klal Yisrael, that's Klal Yisrael's job. The end of the Parsha... The end of the Parsha is this phantasmagoric vision of what's going on upstairs, right?
And then the clarity of gold, you don't understand the workings, but its motives are pure.
Right, so what he called, so it's so there, right? There at the end of the Parsha, we're told, yeah, that even though in the interim, like the Netziv says, yeah, what he called, things are not necessarily clear. But we know the source is pure, and the result is pure.
The feet represent the source.
The ultimate result is the feet. The source is the head. The ultimate result is the feet, right? Like they call the sockets of gold, right? And the thighs. How things bounce around in Shemayim until they get to that ultimate result. That's not clear. The fact that the elders looked upon something and that was really beyond their level, they're no longer part of the world. From this, in short, right? In short, as it says here in English at the end. In short, the path is laid out before us.
You mean to say that actually wasn't really time for them to continue living?
I say that because they put themselves in some place they didn't belong. But the lesson we're trying to derive from this is, right? The path is laid out before us. What's the path?
The path is
like what he called, like Elam Mishpatim Shartam Sing Lefteim. It's what he called, that everything should be clear. The Shulchan Aruch, the Dinim, what we need to do, right? What we need to do, that is our path. We attach ourselves to the Torah, the portrait of the Torah, upon the canvas of the lessons of the Mizbeach, right? Upon the pan canvas of the lessons of the Mizbeach, that's our job description. Along the way, you may see only what you are worthy to see, right? One who can't live without seeing the answers, right? Or one who refuses to live as he should, because he can't see the answers.
Could you say worthy is what we've earned to see?
Whatever the word worthy means. again, but you're able to see, you're able to see as much as you're worthy.
How much coffee is? What
according to Mandragas, so that's what you see.
But we're always constantly working on our Mandragas.
Okay, let's not get off topic, right? Because you can see what you're worthy to see.
This is the path,
right? And you the path, the path is really the sticking to the Torah. That's the path. The path is all the mishpatim, all the dinim, right? On the cut and the canvas of what we learn from the mizbeach. When a person, as it were, yeah, either refuses to, either he can't live unless I gotta know the answers. Now why the next thing? So he'll say, we want the answers upstairs, or the answers. Vakashasi, come upstairs and get the answers.
When you die.
Right, or if a person insists, they'll just say, you want all the answers, so we'll bring you upstairs.
We'll kill you first.
Right, okay, this was a violent term, but whatever, if you say you can't live without the answers, so we'll go to the place of the answers.
So that means we shouldn't ask for answers?
Again, the answers that you can't get over here, don't ask for. You can ask for strength to be able to weather it. Right? But the answers, this is not the place of the answers.
That's very important.
Right?
So why did David Melech say? David Melech said, he said, show me the path so I can understand the fulfillment of the joys of your presence.
Status that we call all of that is what we call to understand.
Show me the path so I can understand.
The more you understand, right, Hashgachas Hashem, doesn't mean you're seeing in front of you, right? Everything like in a picture. Or there are people who say, because I can't see the answers, I'm not going to live according to what you call the path. Right?
Show us more so we can love you more, Hashem.
Right, the more you know, the closer you get. The more you understand of Hashem's Torah, the closer you get. But that's not giving you a picture of of how, in the midst of all the torment is really, it's all in the same place as all the beauty and glory. Right? The living of Sasapir was together with the Etan Shemaim Latoar. The servitude, the suffering, all that's upstairs in the same place in Shemaim with the Etan Shemaim Latoar, with the glory and happiness of the redemption. How does it coexist together, the two things? But it's there. It's there.
What, the glory and...
And what do you call it? Yet the pain. It's all there. The livnas asapir, the levainim, is right there next to what do you call it? That's what do you call it? That's not for us to see. That's not for us to see now. Right? So the path we have, right? If we refuse to live without getting the answers, so then they invite us upstairs, God forbid, where we shouldn't live before our time. And if we refuse to live according to the way we should live because we don't have the answers, we've also done ourselves a disservice. That means, people say, Hashem, why we look like these brilliant questions? Why did God bring the Holocaust? Right? Oh, you can't answer that, can you? That's it. I don't have to keep his mitzvahs.
Yeah.
That's, right? That's selling oneself short and doing oneself a disservice.
No,
okay.